think the morning is just for you. You ever think about that, that God loves you so much, both of you? And just the moment here was, like, worship was for you this morning. His presence was for you this morning. These guys here were for you this morning. I just, God's like that, by the way. He loves to put spotlights on his kids. He loves to love on you. He loves to let you know that he's there. So I guess this one, I bless you both this morning. We just bless you both.
Thank you.
Enjoy.
It's a blessing being here.
And letting us pray for you. So that's fun. That's just fun. Hey, before I forget, next Sunday, it's Easter, and as has been our tradition here as a family here, we have a potluck on Easter. So next Sunday, we're going to have a potluck together. So it won't be a formal teaching time, but it is going to be a very much family time. Potluck next Sunday, same time, same place, same God channel.
Amen, brother.
And we'll send out a note, or you can call and ask us how that is. But it's funny. I'm actually going to be. We're going to go back and look at something in Chronicles this morning, and I actually had this thought as I was just drinking my coffee early. It's dark in the house still. And I thought, well, it doesn't seem like a Palm Sunday message, God. But as I was in worship, I thought, it's the most Palm Sunday message there could possibly be. And I'll tell you why I say that. It's that that thought I shared as we opened worship, that there's nothing that makes Father so excited, so happy, than to see his kids walk strong.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, every mom and dad in this room would say the same thing about their kids, right? Yeah. To see their kids powerful, strong, like just at rest. And how much more Father in heaven,
right,
wants to see. And so he has told us he has prophesied over you about how we walk in kingdom authority. He's prophesied what you're going to do. He said, we're going to pray for blind eyes, and they're going to be opened. So that's why we have powerful prayers when we pray for your eyes. Mm-hmm. He told us that you're going to pray for the sick and the lame and the diseased. He told us you're going to pray for the dead, and they're going to rise. So there's an expectation of that we're still growing into, we're waking up to, aren't we? So I was... Before I get into 2 Chronicles, we were sharing, we're on this journey still of like learning how to walk in that identity. Really, how to be kings and priests.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the stumbling blocks between that assignment or that destiny of your life? What's the stumbling blocks between here and there? Do you remember I shared with you, if I said if this room was the spectrum of the supernatural, and on that wall was nothing happens, and I have zero expectations. In fact, God has nothing to do with that. That's just me over there. And my whole life is controlled by fear and anger and control and things like that. And on this wall right here, the dead are rising.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all agreeing, my journey is to get to that wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
So... But what is it that inhibits me? What is it that makes me feel like that wall's a long way away from me?
Or not until heaven.
Or right, because in many expressions of church,
right,
we tell people you'll never get to do that till you get to heaven, which doesn't make any sense if you think about it. When God says to go do these powerful things on earth,
right.
But we tell ourselves, oh, when I get to heaven, all that great stuff's going to happen. But the truth is, we're called to live powerfully. So I was thinking, okay, God, what is it that, what is the mountain in my thinking? What's the mountain in my spirit? What's that thing, that wall that I think is inhibiting me from taking those steps? How about this? What's that thing that gets in the way from causing me to believe for the impossible? Because We, like the lady in the coma that I shared this morning, lady with the terminal condition, you're going to die. How do you get to believing the other side of that, that says, regardless of what the doctors say, regardless of what the science says, this is what God says. That's the mountain I'm talking about. So we have these, let's call them battles, right? Between us and that destiny, a kingdom destiny. Some of those battles are inside, by the way. Maybe it's a, when I say inside, it's like, maybe you're struggling with anger or fear, or maybe there's an addiction.
Guilt.
Huh? Oh, guilt, sure. Maybe it has to do with, medications or alcohols or lust, or, I mean, there's, and the list goes on, right? There's internal battles that says, this is my curse in life. This is my lot in life. I'll never get past this. And we, you know, in some of those internal, we have classes like AA and NA and other places, like, if I just have the energy of the will of all of you helping to get, and that's good.
Right.
But there's, but it's only as good as, it takes me to a place and then my battle's too big. Like, eventually I'm overwhelmed. I don't see myself as having the resources to fight this fight. Right? So, and then we have some external battles. We might have things like finances. Maybe even poverty. Maybe it's a relational condition, like a marriage or something with a kid. Maybe it's something with illness, like cancer, right? And we look at it, we say, God, how do I learn how to think past my ability, past the data? This is what the doctor said. This is the report from the bank. This is the condition of my home from, or my neighbors, what they're saying, or what, right?
Right.
And how do I believe beyond my ability to see a problem solved, to see the problem removed, to see the problem healed, okay? So with that, I want to look at 2 Chronicles. There's a king that I am intrigued by. His name is Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was... This is back in like 800, 850, 870 BC, okay? And at the time, and we don't have to have too much history here, but Judah and Israel are divided, right? And Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. And it says that the Bible tells us, and you can read about Jehoshaphat in Kings, and you can read about him in Chronicles. The Bible tells us that he became king at 35 years old. And he reigned for 25 years. And the fun part about him is, as you read in like 2 Chronicles chapter 22, it actually describes him as this zealous king that was just hungry for God. And it says that he actually uses language in here that says, he sought the Lord with all his heart. I'm going to need that.
Whoops.
I need another one.
It's like, and then do you take away my face? So it says that he sought the Lord with all his heart. In fact, it says he was so, I'll use our language, so in tune with heaven, so in tune with the Lord, that the Lord is...
Old school.
Huh?
Old school.
She's got... Hey, we're good to go here. The Bible says that he like released favor on him. Favor in counsel, favor with increase, favor with wealth. I thought, wow, this is really, this guy's kind of fun to hang out with. In fact, it says that his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. He actually had joy about pursuing the Lord. Other translations talk about he had this deep commitment. He had this like this hunger for just more and more. And it says that all the nations around him actually had fear because of his connection with the Lord. Okay? So now here's what's interesting about him. That's how he is. And Judah and Israel divided. Israel has a king who is getting Ahab, who, everybody go like this.
Boo.
Right? He's a bad guy. Totally the so it's the opposite. It's almost like a vaudeville act, right? Like, so he's like the villain in the story, and he has nothing good. He's totally following other gods, and he's got a kingdom that's in crisis. Jehoshaphat, right? Following the Lord, first passion is the Lord and the things of the Lord, stirring the people up to the Lord. He actually pursues his path of making peace with Israel, right? Who the Bible describes as one of the most wicked kings of Israel, right? So we know, because we know he's so wicked, it's interesting. We also know Jehoshaphat wouldn't have been ignorant of that. Okay, that's right. But he goes and kind of partners with Ahab, mm-hmm. because he's asking for help to come to against Syria, okay? And so they do this, and it's interesting. There's one of the things that happens, this is actually sort of comical. They're trying to figure out, should we go together and fight against Syria? And Ahab says, you know, I'll pull all my counselors together. And he's got 400 prophets who come to him, and they basically say, oh yeah, you should go fight Syria, right? And Jehoshaphat, they says, is there no prophet in your kingdom that follows the Lord, essentially? And so now Ahab's like, oh yeah, 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 yeah. So-and-so, and I can't remember the guy's name, it's not important on the history lesson of it, says, oh, he does. He listens to the Lord. So he's got 400 people that say, oh yeah, go fight Syria. Jehoshaphat goes, do any of those guys listen to God? Right? And Ahab goes, oh yeah, I've got one. Right? He says, well, I've got one prophet whom we can inquire of the Lord. He says, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me.
where are you reading?
It's in 2 Chronicles, okay, 18, yeah. Right? Says they never inquire, says anything good about me. Always bad, right? So they summon the guy in. This is backstory. I'll get to my real lesson here. But it's too funny, actually, I think. So they bring the guy in. And Ahab and Jezebel, it's like, what should we do? And I'll make fun of his answer. He says, oh yeah, attack, be victorious. For the Lord will give him into the king's hand. And Ahab says, how many times do I have to tell you? Just tell me what God says.
So funny.
So, oh yeah, you should go up and fight those guys. And so then he tells him the truth. He says, look, I saw all of Israel scattered. And the hills were like sheep without a shepherd, it says. So they get destroyed. So what does Ahab do? I got 400 that say go fight. We're going to go fight. So Ahab and Jehoshaphat go to this battle, and Ahab gets killed in the battle, and they do. They all scatter. And so now Jehoshaphat, who was the one who sought the Lord, realized I've compromised, and like that was stupid. He's trying to make alliances and defend the, you know, keep Judah safe. Realizes that was dumb,
mm-hmm.
and it weakened him. It compromised him, but it also did this. It made him afraid because he realized maybe I'm not safe now. And we're gonna read out of 2 Chronicles 22. But what happens is, the gathering nations come together, and they're gonna go after Judah. I wonder, did they just see the weakened condition? Mm-hmm. Do they see the compromise?
Sure.
Right. So
the chickens scatter.
Yeah. So Jehoshaphat, and I'll tell you the story, then I'll come back and read it to you. He's like, he makes a commitment. We've got to get back to the ways of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we've got to come back into agreement with what he said. We've got to come back and pursue him. We've got to put him first. And I'm paraphrasing a long piece of scripture. And in that whole process, it says he led with prayer. He led with praise. And even that thought of who can stand against us? We've got God on our side. Mm-hmm. He's actually got the women, the children, they're all coming back into agreement. We've got God on our side. And this is one of those battles in Scripture where the Lord says, don't worry, you won't have to fight. That all these other nations that were coming together against them ended up fighting themselves. And Scripture goes on to talk about how they kind of took themselves out, and that it took them days to go up and collect the plunder of everything, right? All that, because Judah put them first. So with that, I would like to go back and say, what did Judah do? He's afraid. He sees this massive thing coming against them. He doesn't see himself as having the resources to fight this, right? I've got multiple nations connecting, and they're going to be coming after, gunning for me. And Jehoshaphat's like, what do I do? And I love it in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says this, and Jehoshaphat feared.
What verse?
Verse 3, 20. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. I guess one of the things I would tell you first, that when it says he feared, it didn't say he feared the Lord. He was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
He was in a place where the data, the science, the indicators were, this battle's bigger than you, right? And all the betting men would have said, don't take that bet, right? And I love how he moves to respond to it, right? Because his first response to fear was, okay, I'm gonna turn my attention to God. I'm afraid, I don't know what to do, I'm gonna turn my attention to God. And so what is his response? And I think what's significant here is how you perceive God is hugely important. If you don't perceive your God as a God who can raise the dead, if you don't perceive your God as a God who heals cancer, if you don't perceive your God who can miraculously respond to poverty and the need for finances, right? It's going to impact you and how what your next step is,
mm-hmm.
right? So when I say he sought the Lord, he sought the Lord who does the impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He wasn't seeking the Lord for just make it go away or keep me safe. He's seeking the Lord for the impossible. He's seeking the Lord for the supernatural. So listen to what he says in verse 6. And he said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? So here's the first thing I would say to you, right? Our perception of God in the face of insurmountable, in the face of big mountains,
right?
Big problems in your life. The first thing he recognizes this. He's a God who was yesterday, today, forever the same.
Right.
Right.
Jesus Christ, yesterday, together. He was a God who was and is
mm-hmm.
and is to come.
Right, right.
Right? Mm-hmm. The God of history, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the same. The God who parted the Red Sea
right.
is the same God who raised Lazarus, raised Jairus' daughter, opened the blind man's eyes, healed the withered man's hand, right? The same God. The same God who prophesied over you, kings,
right?
To walk in that authority, right? So he's the God of history, is what he's saying. Jehoshaphat, right? He says this, oh God of our fathers. Like he's connecting with
mm-hmm.
past, present, and future, right? Then he says this. He says, are you not God in heaven? So what have we been talking about?
Mm.
We've told, Jesus says, here's where I sit. Mm-hmm. I sit with him, with Father in heaven. Where does he say you sit?
In him.
He tells you, you're seated with him. Help me out, Adolf.
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
Right.
Far above.
All principalities and powers.
Right.
All principalities and powers. All rulers of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I want you to see every difficult thing, every insurmountable task, every mountain is under that.
Right.
Right? So he's the God of history, the God of our fathers, past, present, future. He sits in heaven, right? What's the next thing he says? Verse 6, God, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms? It's a word of dominion.
Mm. Right.
By the way, what's he say in Genesis? About having dominion, you will have dominion over
everything,
right? So Jehoshaphat just like, what's he doing? He's lining himself up.
Right.
It's like, here's who I am. Here's who you are. Here's what you said, right? You rule over all things. So he says, you're sovereign. You're king. And all of us are in you, right? And then he tells him this. He closes verse 6 with this. And in your hand, is there not power? I love that. In your hand, is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? I'm thinking, go Jehoshaphat.
Right.
God of our fathers, who sits in heaven.
Right.
Who has dominion over all things and all power in his hands. Right. That's who you have been invited into. Jehoshaphat's just coming back in agreement. This is who you are,
right?
What do we know? We've been studying it and teaching it and living it. He's good.
Right.
He's absolutely perfectly good. It's his nature. It's his character. All he does is release love, right? So we're from that place, we release him, right? So because they know that, this is the starting point for Jehoshaphat. Here's how he's going to respond to his mountain of all these nations coming against them, right? This is who you are. Right? What does he say in verse 12? If you have your Bibles, in 2 Chronicles 20:12, he tells us this: we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, and we don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. But our eyes are on you. Right? What's the enemy going to do? He's going to try to confuse you. He's going to lie to you. He's going to deceive you. Those things that we just said, who God is. Right, the total authority of God, he's going to try to chip away at that, right? And try to say, oh yeah, but, oh yeah, but, oh yeah, but, oh yeah, but,
right?
And so Jehoshaphat says, I know that's all out there. He's not ignorant, by the way. He's not living with, you know, going like this, right? No, he knows the condition. The condition isn't dictating to him, though, is it? The condition is not dictating his response. Like, this is what's going on. I'm going to look at you, right? So he says this. He said, we may look powerless, and these guys are pretty big, multitudes against us, but our eyes are on you. Other thing they did. Verse 19, it tells us this. So then he's gathering all them. He's getting all the people to come into agreement. Almost like it looks like a locker room talk, doesn't it? Right? And so in verse 19, he says, okay, the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with loud voices. So now it's like the singers are on cue. The worshipers are on cue. Right? So they're just celebrating. They're not fighting. They're just going, God, you're awesome. God, you're amazing. God, you're wonderful.
Right.
God, they're just celebrating heaven. They're just celebrating Father. They're just enjoying who he is. I'm thinking, you guys got it. They just praise God, right? Look at verse 20. It says, so that's where they start, but with voices loud and high, praising the Lord. So verse 20, they rose early in the morning. They went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah. And you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established.
Right, right, right.
It's a statement of firm. It's a statement of assurance, right? It's a thing of like, we talk about getting in sync, like in being stitched in one with him, right? You shall be established. believe his prophets and you shall prosper. He's telling them, look, just put your trust in heaven. King, just line up with kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just line. You notice we're not even talking. This is the joy of Jesus. Quit focusing on the problem.
Right.
Just
right.
Enjoy kingdom.
Right.
This is what kingdom says. You know, it's not going, oh yeah, but the pain, oh yeah, but the report, oh yeah, but, and right? So God, oh this, and oh God, oh that. You know, they're not looking at that condition. They're going like this. They're saying, God, you're awesome. We're just going to put our trust in kingdom, the dynamic of heaven, right? Then, and finally, in verse 21, he says this, right? He tells them, you're going to prosper. This is how heaven moves. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of holiness, and they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. They're basically saying, it's done. That's what they said. It's done. This battle's over. Because you're so good, the battle's just, it's over, right? Mm-hmm. They're confident. You know, earlier in the chapter, in verse 7, he tells us, Jehoshaphat's talking to people, he says, are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel? What's he doing? He's
testimonies.
Right.
He's just recalling testimonies. Here's who you are. This is how you operate. And not only that, you gave that promise, that testimony to your descendants. Right? Of your, what he calls them, he says of Abraham, your friends forever. All they're doing is they're just confident in this one thing. I have an inheritance.
Right.
I have an inheritance. All Jehoshaphat did to the people was remind them who he is,
right.
Who you are. Here was his promise for you. So just walk in the promise.
Right.
So just some things, and I'll close with this about your inheritance. What is your inheritance? What is the things he said to you? So just, you can find dozens and dozens and dozens. I just did some quickies here. He says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will
give you rest.
Matthew 11:28. He tells us this, I'm with you always, even
to the ends
of the earth. Matthew 28:20. He says this, that his words will never
return void.
Right? He also says, they'll never pass away. They'll never end, right? Mm-hmm. That was in Mark. He said that whatever you ask in my name,
will be given to you.
That's all over the place, but right. There's John 14 says that. How about this? He said he would disclose himself to you. There's multiple places God talks to us about seeking him and he'll show up.
Right.
Knock and I'll answer. Ask me and I'll speak. Right? He has a promise of a connection with you. He's promising you an encounter. He's promising you presence.
Right?
Right? He said that he would reveal the Father to you, right? Just before he went to the cross, when he's in the upper room, right? He had just had the Last Supper with his disciples, and he's talking to them about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and he's reminding them about challenges, but he's really speaking to them about your sons, and you have me, and you're in me, and you're in the Father, and Jesus is having, he's reminding them, here's who you are. And he says, and I'm going to promise you this. The Father will be revealed to you. Right? So we're on a journey where we all want that wall.
Right.
It says that's where the supernatural is happening.
Right.
Right? There's in each one of our lives on this, we react differently. Mm-hmm. Some of us are more, we have more courage or faith to respond to cancer, or we have more faith to believe for the impossible in our finances. I understand that we're all somewhere on this line, right? But the promises he's given to all of us are about the revelation of him, the release of Holy Spirit, this the stirring of our identity and right and this increasing walk of our authority. The Bible says this: you're going to move from glory to glory to glory.
Mm-hmm.
It's talking about, I believe, your. Remember when I said what glory was?
Mm-hmm.
That which reveals, points to, right? The Father, His character, this uncovering of His nature, right? This thing that peels back the blinders on who He is and what heaven is, right? Glory's revealing that. So as we become bigger in this, bolder in this,
mm-hmm.
more awesome in this, more agreement with this, what are we doing? Can you see this? Jesus is on display. Father is being shown in everything we do. Right?
Right.
Right? So, I guess my takeaway for the morning, and we'll finish up after Easter, is how do we respond when my mountain looks so big? Right? Inside battles, outside battles. My mountain's so big. I want to be one who walks on the other side of the mountain. And I would say the process is all about how you seek Him, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you perceive Him? How do you perceive heaven's response to your problem, right? It's going to, all that's going to speak to how you move here at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it says this, and I'll just say one verse. Verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. You will not need to fight in this battle. Jehoshaphat writes this. He says, position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you.
So good.
Don't fear. Don't be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you.
Oh, so good.
Amen.
My thought was, even before you read that, is that when you're living from kingdom's perspective, there is no battle.
Right?
There isn't.
So, I've told you before, when we read our Bibles, put on your Jesus glasses. Put on your Jesus. Jesus, Jehoshaphat didn't know Jesus.
Right, and that's the key.
Jehoshaphat, Jesus came and revealed the Father. So even with this, even in this time, this is hundreds of years before Jesus even shows up. Right? So let's just pray.
Yeah.
God, we just say thank you that you call us kings and priests.
Mm-hmm.
We accept our assignment.
Thank you, Lord.
God, we say yes to kingly authority. We say yes to royalty this morning. We say yes to moving in the heartbeat of heaven. We say yes to accepting heaven's resources. We say yes to administering those resources on your behalf. And so we choose to encounter you. We choose to seek you into our mountains, God. We just say, okay, God, what do you want to do? In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.